It is time for a mailbag Monday. Did you miss it last week?
I did not miss it last week, but you know what? I was out the first week you created it, and I didn't catch the, what do they call that?
The imaging.
Imaging, yes.
The imaging. 713-780-ESPN. You can ask us whatever you want. It's our Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. I guess we'll take some calls, even though the Mailbag Monday doesn't really, you know, it doesn't sound like a phone call thing, but why not? Why not? It's a Mailbag Monday. We're going to screw around for the next 13 minutes. Why not? So let's go out to the HRP listener line. Rolando, what's your question for the Killer Bees on a Mailbag Monday?
Hey, guys. What's going on? Hey, so over the weekend, I saw something, not trending, but I saw a few videos. It was Edwin Diaz from the Mets, the closer, walking out, and his walkout is phenomenal. So I want to know, y'all, what is y'all's favorite closer all-time walkout music? I'll give y'all mine. Mine is Jonathan Papelbon. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay. I don't remember what Papelbon's was. The have you seen the Diaz? The production
it was
for it?
All with the
you sound annoyed by it.
Because I mean it was all
the
over
trumpets.
Social media.
You didn't like that?
I mean, it's fine. It's
what,
cool.
What do you like to see on your social media? What won't bother you that you see?
Don't worry about what I like to see.
It feels like
media.
If more than three people like something, you're out on it.
Not annoyed. I mean, I'm not annoyed by everything. There's lots of stuff that trends on social media that I like. I mean, everybody was making such a big deal out of it. I mean, look, at least it wasn't the same old with either Enter Sandman or AC/DC.
See, that's the original to me. Like, Rolanda's asking us the best ever. Like, I think Mariano Rivera kind of started that whole trend.
And everybody gives credit to Billy Wagner for it. And it's like, that was Mariano Rivera.
Do you remember Wagner's song?
I don't
remember Wagner's song either.
They used Enter Sandman towards the end.
Did they?
Uh-huh.
I love the Edwin Diaz thing. I love the production of it. Like, I thought it was great. I would love to see something like that for Ryan Pressly. Not so much Ryan Stressly.
Now, I wonder, too, like, now, from a game ops perspective, what you couldn't do in the past that you could do now in terms of altering, like, when guys hit a home run now,
yeah, the lights.
How they can alter the lights and stuff like that. If you could do that when a relief pitcher comes in and really add extra drama to it, I think that's great.
Yeah. We were playing USF in football, and they do that. Because it's the Buccaneer Stadium, so they were able to turn the lights green. It's pretty cool. 713-780-ESPN, Mailbag Monday. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 6602 says, did y'all watch Facing Ryan? It's so good. A documentary with Nolan Ryan.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, no.
I haven't
I'd
seen
like
it either.
To see it.
Where does it air? Do you have any idea where it, I don't even know where it airs.
I don't think it's either on, it was streaming and online, but I don't think there was some random movie theaters, but I mean I don't think it's been like available yet.
6602, text us where we can watch it. We'll watch it and report back. Mailbag Monday, 713-780-3776. Did you?
Yeah,
I saw you tweeting that you
right,
weren't
early
watching.
On, and then my wife just stepped in and said, "Screw it, we're going to get Peacock and set it all up."
Oh, so she set up the Peacock?
Huh?
It's good. It's good for you guys.
Yeah, so take that one.
Did you? Are you going to keep it?
She says yes, because she says there's other shows she can find. She finds interesting that she wants to watch, which I find hard to believe, but
like
okay.
Office reruns? I guess I could finish The Office.
She said being a KPRC employee, they don't realize. No, well, I said that too, but I also said, because she was losing her mind, she goes, do you realize how many people are going to be so pissed off that they moved Days of Our Lives from Channel 2 to Peacock?
Oh, yeah, so many people.
There's too many people that are still deeply entrenched in Days of Our Lives.
Really? All right. Mailbag Monday. Key from L.A. What do you guys think of the Milwaukee Brewers City Edition uniforms? I had to Google them. They're pretty sharp.
I like the colors. And because I grew up with the old school Bambi's Bombers and Brewers teams that use that powder blue, I think they're cool. The Brew City to me, put Henry Aaron's 44 behind it.
Brew Crew.
In the logo.
Brew Crew.
Or the Brew Crew. And then the 44 on the hats.
That's pretty cool.
As like a subliminal to Henry Aaron.
Yeah.
I think overall they're very favorable.
Yeah,
they're not
like
softball
those.
Uniforms.
They don't wear the blue pants? That's good. It's good that they wear the white pants with that. I like those. Those are sharp. 713-780-3776, our Mailbag Monday that's now going to the phone lines.
And by the way, on that too, they'd be more sharp if Josh Hader was still wearing one. Because did you see what they did? What's the kid, the big, used to have a big arm from the Padres and got hurt?
Taylor Rogers?
Dinelson Lamet.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have enough roster spots, so they DFA'd him, and the Rockies claimed him, and he was one of the four pieces of the Hader trade.
Huh. That's interesting.
That was dumb.
That must have been a money thing. 713-780-3776. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line for our Mailbag Monday. Diego, what's your question for the Killer Bees?
Hey, how's it going, guys? A big fan of the show.
Thank you.
Just pretty much a personal question. Just like, what do you guys like to do when you're not working? When you're not, I guess, broadcasting?
Appreciate it, Diego. Diego sounded like a fast-talking Cal McNair. He sounded a little bit like a fast-talking Cal McNair.
He sounded like a fast-talking Doug Glanville.
Yeah. Look, I have wife and kids and expecting one in the next week or so. So hanging out with them. I also do U of H stuff. So doing a lot of the U of H broadcasting. But I actually like watching TV shows, which is something that some people might take by surprise based on what we were talking about earlier. Like to hit the golf course, but I haven't done that in a long time.
I used to love it. Yeah, I was a 5-handicap golfer until we got married and had kids. Now I haven't picked up a club to play a round of golf in 4 years, but I...
Listen to that flex.
I do wish to come back to it soon. You guys know I love going to the gym every day. Sometimes I don't love going, but I get mad at myself if I don't get in there.
Another flex.
Well, I can flex if you like. you guys like to rail on me and say, well, it's not working or whatever. It's mental as well as physical, and I'm not trying to do it for you. But, of course, just like you, I love family time, and with the dogs in the mix, too, it keeps me busy.
I went to the clubhouse gym this morning.
Yeah.
I couldn't do half of the things I wanted to do because I had 55-year-old women, and they're taking up everything up.
Yeah, you could have just blended in.
I mean,
just worked in with them.
Man.
I'm sure those soup
hogging
cans.
All the space.
I'm sure you could work those soup cans for the biceps.
Hogging all the space.
I'll tell you this. I'll never understand this. You've had an entire summer to plan for the school year, yeah. But to get 2 days of in service before the school year starts on Wednesday, which meant Maddie stayed home today, and yeah. All I had was kid duties leading up to work duties. There was no time for the gym, and it aggravated.
Teachers got to get their classroom ready. Shout out all the teachers out there. 713-780-3776, our Mailbag Monday. What is your question for the Killer Bees? 1296, head-to-head, who's y'all starting five NBA, and y'all can't pick the same player? That's a loaded question.
Current NBA all players?
And it sounds to me like he wants us to pick our starting five, but we can't pick the same person. So now you're looking at like some sort of fantasy draft, which...
Yeah, it's like we're looking at 5 minutes, pick, and that takes a long time.
Yeah, that's not the essence of a Mailbag Monday. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776.
Would you rather be the producer for the Killer Bees every day or have more fill-in opportunities on the wheelhouses occasionally on days?
I will tell you, I realized how much I miss hosting after Friday, because I used to do it a lot when I was in Grand Rapids, and I haven't done it much since. And I didn't even actively miss it until I filled in on Friday.
Listen to that non-answer. Mm-hmm. He's literally non-answered.
But he missed doing it, which means he probably didn't miss missing our show. Oh, to do
no,
it.
No,
he
no.
alluded to
it
one side,
like it,
but he
Jeremy.
Didn't answer. That was kind of like letting us down lightly. There.
I absolutely miss doing the show.
It was Jake Odorizzi,
still not an
wasn't
answer.
It?
Yeah. Still not an answer. Dude's not answering us.
Well, that's not a yes or no question. That's too complex for this.
Yeah, he gave you option A and gave you option B.
And I hope it's not the last time.
Yeah.
I hope it's not the last time ever that I'm on air. That's my answer.
Still not an answer. 713-780-ESPN. What's your question for the Killer Bees? 713-780-3776. In Fuentes. I think he asked this. I can't remember. Would you trade the careers of Yordan Alvarez and Kyle Tucker for one guaranteed World Series win in the next 10 years?
What?
Would you trade the careers of Yordan and Tucker for one guaranteed World Series win in the next 10 years? I guess we're sacrificing Yordan and Tucker for the remainder of their lives.
They played somewhere else and we got a World Series with other players?
No. I think you just get one and then they're squandered the rest of the way. Oh. They just kind of disappear. You know, season-ending injuries,
you know,
things like that.
I would normally say no, but this is such a different set of circumstances with how much a second World Series title during this run would mean for the Astros. I'd consider it, but I think just the rational thinker is no. I wouldn't do that.
I would do it for one more. Like, the point of having Yordan and Tucker is to win another World Series. So, like, if you're saying no, you're thinking the Astros are winning more than one over the next decade. Like, lock me into the one. Guarantee me the one, and I'm good.
Like I said, I understand it, and I could see everybody that said that because of how important another one during this run would be to squelching all of the negativity. But I'll take my chances with how good this team is set up for the duration of the career of Tucker and Alvarez, that I'll keep them on the roster playing well.
713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday has become more of a phone call Monday. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Ryan, you're in the Hive of the Killer Bees. What's your question for the Killer Bees?
What's going on, fellas? Hey, Joel, I had a question for you. Would you nix this show to bring back the usual suspects?
Ooh, boy.
Don't think about it.
Man. See, I don't want to be Brendan, so I'm going to say no because everybody's moved on and done well in their own way. But I love Barry and I love Nick, but I also love what we're doing now.
Ocho's asking, would you rather be stuck on an island alone?
Wait, make me pick between my kids.
Ocho's asking, would you rather be stuck on an island alone or someone who talks nonstop?
Would you rather be stuck on an island and be with someone that talks nonstop?
Would you rather be stuck on an island alone or someone who talks nonstop?
This is so easy.
Yeah, it is.
I think alone.
Yeah, no doubt.
Oh, no way. Give me the person who doesn't shut up.
Why?
Because I don't shut up. We'll just talk forever. I got no problem with that.
I'd rather be alone in isolation.
Nope.
Watch the waves, go out and fish on my own, do my hunting. I only got one mouth to feed. Don't have to feed another. Give me an island alone.
I would forget I was even stuck on an island alone as well.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, you wouldn't forget
that you were stuck on an island. You still got to find food. You still got to live. You still got to survive.
Entertainment's an underrated part of this.
Tom Hanks was able to find entertainment with a volleyball. I don't need somebody else that's going to talk my ear off.
Especially if it annoys me.
But that wasn't specified. They didn't say this person was annoying.
No, I just threw it in there. Most chances are if they're going to talk that much, they're going to annoy me.
Well, I talk that much, so.
No,
well,
you annoy
take
me.
That personally.
You don't talk that much. 9392, DC or Marvel? Not the movies, the superheroes.
DC.
I don't do fiction.
I don't really. I'm with you. I'm not a big on either one, but I'm going to go with the traditional one, which would be DC, right?
I do fiction. Just nothing I can't believe. So
am I right, Brendan? Is that right? DC? So I'm going with Superman and Spider-Man and
maybe,
all that?
Maybe Brendan's the one to answer this.
Superman and Spider-Man are definitely opposite sides.
Oh. Well, there you go.
Which one are you, DC or Marvel?
I'm the wrong guy, too. I'm not really a superhero guy. Probably Marvel.
Would you have gone to Garth Brooks this weekend if you had tickets?
No doubt about it. Yeah.
No.
I knew you'd say no. I knew you'd say yeah.
Absolutely. I'm not a big concert guy either, but I would have absolutely.
I don't believe in concerts at NRG. 70,000 people mean you're really watching them off the TVs.
But Garth is worth it. Garth is worth it to be within those walls. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I would have went. If my wife wasn't pregnant, we would have been
there. Even if the thunder rolls and the lightning strikes and you hang out with friends in low places?
That's more reason to do it.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN. You didn't get your question submitted, you didn't get it answered. Every Monday at 2 o'clock, our Mailbag Monday. All right, you might have seen this in the golf world. Will Zalatoris fired his caddy mid-tournament, which is weird. We're not going to talk tons of golf because Brendan won't let us. But what's the worst firing in sports? Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Poncho saying that 55-year-old ladies were out lifting Branham at the gym this morning. It's not wrong. 713-780-ESPN.
The chicken noodle soup weighs a pretty good amount sometimes.
Yeah, a little chest back.
Soup can aerobics.
Will Zalatoris, who hadn't been working out a whole lot, he fired his caddy mid-tournament, which is pretty bizarre. Usually you wait till after the tournament. He fired him after the second round Friday.
Why?
Finished the weekend with a backup. He said that, no, it was very broad, very vague. The relationship's been souring for a while. I still love him like a brother. No real reason.
You know what? Bubba said that, and so did Phil when they got rid of their caddies, but they just waited for a clean break.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird to do it right there in the middle of the round, or middle of the tournament. It wasn't the middle of the round, although I'm sure the decision came middle of the round. He just waited for after him.
Was it Tin Cup where Cheech cuts out during the actual round?
Yeah, overrated movie. I can't stand that movie.
Wow.
I don't like the ending. The ending sours it for me. Anyways, so what are the worst firings in sports? 713-780-ESPN. What are the ones that you remember where you said, what in the world was that? 713-780-3776. This isn't the worst firing in sports, but I was actually really surprised when it happened. When Bill O'Brien got fired, actually it was early in the season. It wasn't the worst firing, but I was shocked.
It almost seemed like it was impossible to happen.
It kind of fell out of left field, though.
Yeah, and so basically no one was expecting it, though we knew he deserved it. And so you're right. I mean, Houston's had a couple, because I think that, you know, when McHale got fired, And there was a sense of people that were wondering, could it get better? But it got you know, 10 times worse. And it happened at a time where early in the season, yeah, the team was struggling. James Harden was 15 pounds overweight, and they had just done the improbable, going to the Western Conference Finals, doing something that no one really gave him a chance to do, or a chance of doing, that, you know, both Bill O'Brien and Kevin McHale, I think, were surprised.
Kevin McHale was one that I was thinking about, too, because they did have success. Now, that one was interesting because he was just, like, Harden wanted it. And if you're,
well,
if you're the best...
Well, and if you know the things that I kind of knew being on the inside, too... Harden orchestrated the whole thing, and it was because McHale wouldn't bow down to him, and he was still pissed off that he didn't play him in the Clipper game where they came back from 25 down to win in game six. And Les and Tad and Daryl basically just said, you know, we're giving you the keys to the franchise, so if you don't want him, we'll get rid of him. And then Les said later in the year it was the biggest mistake he could have made.
Yeah, that was that's one of the worst firings, or one of the strangest firings. What are yours? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Todd, the show, good to have you back. Enjoy that drive.
Yeah, no doubt.
He says, hate the Cowboys, but probably Jimmy Johnson. Now, Jimmy Johnson was like a mutually agreed to thing, but let's be honest. That was Jerry Jones not wanting to have to deal with the power that Jimmy Johnson wanted. So that's considered a firing. That's right up there, because the Cowboys were in the midst of the dynasty, right? The Dallas Cowboys, America's team, winning the Super Bowl every year. And I know that they still won one with Barry Switzer. But then the demise of the Cowboys came soon after. I think that's a really good answer with Jimmy Johnson.
I think
Johnson.
It is, too. And you think about it, and you think about the fact that it lingers to this day when, I don't know if you saw this or not, when camp was about to start and they asked Jerry Jones, why isn't Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor for the Dallas Cowboys? And he said, people forget, it's my choice and my choice only, and I can choose whoever the hell I want or don't want. And I thought, well, that's pretty egotistical, but also very true when you are the sole owner of the team. But you can't tell me Jimmy Johnson doesn't deserve it. And you can't tell me that if you never get Jimmy Johnson, that the results were guaranteed to be the same. Jimmy Johnson's a hell of a leader. He's a hell of a football coach. And he did a lot of great things no matter who was on that roster and when they drafted, including orchestrating a trade that got all the picks to get him the kind of guys like Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, and Troy Aikman.
Did they not add Johnson yet? I thought they announced they were going to.
No, he won't do it.
I thought they had, who's not?
Jerry said he wasn't going to do it.
Interesting, because I thought that they announced that they were going to. Put him in the
ring
of honor.
I just saw it last week on Twitter where they had a one-on-one with him, and they were commending the guy to have the balls to ask the question. But Jarrah was like, I don't have to, and it's up to me.
6761 with a pretty good one. Marty Schottenheimer being fired by the Chargers after going 14-2. I remember that one, too.
I'm pretty sure my boy Keenan was on that team.
Probably, yeah. That was right around the same time.
The Patriots in the playoffs.
Yeah, 14-2, you get fired.
And I think I've told you personally, but I think I've hinted at this before, that was the game where they knew the Patriots were stealing their signals by going through the walkthrough.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
And yet Marty ended up paying the ultimate price for it, but Marty was also the guy. Wade Phillips said they were winning late in the game and said, let me throw the blitz at him. Let me throw the entire kitchen sink at him. They're never going to know it's coming, and if it works, we're going to win this game. And Marty said, okay. And when he sent the signal in, and they had changed the signal at the walkthrough so that the Patriots, if they were stealing signals before, wouldn't know that this was the signal they used all year, Brady smiled at the line of scrimmage, audibled, got a 30-yard play down the field, ended up leading him down the field on the winning touchdown, and everybody on the sidelines went, they knew.
Nature Boy Ben, which probably not as good as Gentle Ben, but pretty good, said Jim Caldwell with the Lions. He also got fired kind of by the Colts after Peyton Manning got hurt,
Yeah, he got two screw jobs.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious what Brendan thought of the Jim Caldwell firing in Detroit.
I thought at the time and still think he was probably not getting to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, he is the best Lions coach maybe in history.
Yeah.
He's one of the winningest ever. I think he might be the winningest Lions coach ever. By record.
Record,
not by wins.
713-780-ESPN. What's the worst firing in sports? I didn't realize this one. Ocho saying that Don Chaney got fired after winning Coach of the Year. Remember Dwayne Casey won Coach of the Year with Toronto and they got fired.
It used to be the curse. The curse was like if you got Coach of the Year or Trainer of the Year or anything else, it was almost like the curse that you were going to get fired the very next year. And that was one of those deals. Yeah, Casey was the last one that got Coach of the Year and then got hammered.
Yeah, Casey, that was bizarre. Because he got hammered after he won the Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, here's your trophy. Okay, now we're going to fire you and move on.
Do you guys remember that they had, like, tweeted a congrats to him for winning it after he had already been fired?
Oh, I do remember that.
That was the best. He was fired, and they tweeted a congrats.
Thank you for the year of service where you won Coach of the Year, but you did not meet our standards, and we're giving you
That's
the right. X. We wish you well in your future endeavors. 713-780-ESPN.
I mean, Detroit.
What's the worst firing in sports? A lot of Houstonians, I think, would say A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. That you kind of succumbed to the pressure of Robert Manfred and moved on from a couple of guys that brought you a World Series and kind of sparked the golden era of the Houston Astros.
And I was one that was adamant. I thought that Hinch would be back. I thought, much like what the Red Sox did with Cora, and knowing the relationship that Crane had with Hinch, I thought that it was only a matter of time, and maybe as soon as that, just sitting out that 1 year, that he would be back.
Yeah, it might have been the original plan, right? Although it seems like, you know,
and I think
Crane,
you and I both agree that Luhnow may be the best general manager in the history of the city and one of the best of all time.
I think so. I think what Luhnow did here is one of the best GM jobs in baseball history. 713-780-ESPN. What are the worst firings in sports? Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Big C, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Clarence?
I only kept up with this guy because he led LSU's defense to a national championship back in the early 2000s. Bo Pelini in Nebraska. That had to be one horrible firing.
Yeah, I vaguely remember
it was
the
more
situation
the way he treated
there.
The kids, and his temper tantrums were like legendary.
I think what Pelini's deal was like, okay, you're not Osborne, so we're going to fire you. And it was kind of like Nebraska, let's take a new stake on what your life really is now in the Big Ten.
You're not
Big Boy
Nebraska
football.
The 70s either.
But you hold on to that sort of things, right? As a fan base, as like a long time, like donors and boosters. Like, we were Nebraska. We were the best, you know, program in college football for a period of 10 years. So you think you should always be that. And you don't really, you know, have this new understanding of what life's really going to be going
no
forward.
No doubt. I mean, look, Alabama was Bear Bryant for a lot of years and then tried to find the next Bear Bryant and then luckily found Nick Saban eventually. But it was a long struggle of a time period in a lot of ways for Alabama to get back to Nick Saban.
0788 trying to say David Culley. He says David Culley because he should have never been hired. That doesn't add
Dr.
up.
Dre.
Huh?
I think that's Dr. Dre.
That's Dr. Dre? But so. how would that play out? How is that the worst firing because he should have never been hired? I don't understand that logic.
Well, I think it was the worst firing just because of what the reputation of the organization looked like, for one, hiring him in the first place, but then two, firing him so soon to double egg your face.
0830 says Mike Brown getting all of 6 games with the Lakers and Willie Taggart not even getting a full 2 seasons at Florida State. Here's the thing with Willie Taggart. He almost got fired at USF. He had one huge season at USF, and then all of a sudden he got the Oregon job, which he parlayed into the Florida State job. I never thought much of Willie Taggart. I never thought he should have got the Oregon job, never thought he should have got the Florida State job. I thought he should have got fired at USF. So I never had stock in Willie Taggart.
Yeah, and look, and I think the Mike Brown, there's a lot of validity to that, because no one should be fired after 6 games. But I think that, again, politics plays more than anybody really wants to admit when making decisions like this and guys losing their job.
Yep. 713-780-ESPN. We got a question for you. Ketchup or mayo ice cream? Pick one. Pick none. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
97.5 Giga Mags. Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Matt in Lincoln says, I'm a transplant, living in Lincoln transplant. There's not a more delusioned fan base in the world, and I'm an Aggie. They fire Bo Pelini because he wasn't a nice guy. Such a joke. Somebody else mentioned Jim Harbaugh. But he was intense. I mean, what do you want, though, from a coach?
Well,
like, coaches
he was
are intense.
His hands on players. And
was he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Yeah, he had a couple incidents.
I mean, showing his love. He's showing he cares about him. You know, some people react. Some people's love language is, what is it? Affection, touch, things like that. Mm. So maybe Bo Pelini thought that. Just kind of got lost in translation. 8755 says Jim Harbaugh. I guess that was the San Francisco Jim Harbaugh, whenever he got fired there. That was a poor ending on how that all went down, because Harbaugh was leading that team to NFC championship game, deep playoff run. Oh, and then the GM doesn't like you, so see you later.
And the GM has proven to be a bumbling idiot in a lot of ways, too. But I think that there wasn't it Harbaugh that kind of called his own shot to get out, though, and go to Michigan as his dream job?
I think he really had no choice.
It was Trent Baalke, right, that they butted heads? Yeah. And Bulky's reputation, even in Jacksonville, is like, I mean, look, it took a crowbar and probably a little extra cash for Doug Peterson to take the job because Bulky's the GM there.
Somebody was telling me the other day that they think Shanahan's on the hot seat, which I...
No freaking
I didn't think so either, but the Harbaugh stuff made me go, maybe San Francisco just doesn't...
No freaking way.
No, I'm with you. I think that's insane. But it's an argument I got into recently.
Like, again...
I've actually heard people say that.
And I've heard the rumblings in the past, but they're idiots because the biggest thing, no matter how much you can question him or you want to go back to what happened in the Super Bowl, if you're that person, I think that he's such a brilliant offensive mind. And I think that, you know, sometimes just like with players, like with James Harden here in Houston, sometimes you get so enamored with what strengths a guy brings to the table that you overpower them. Bill O'Brien here in Houston, when you overpowered him and made him the GM too. I think that Shanahan's too good because the one question you have to ask yourself is, could you get someone that makes you better?
I would say
when
no.
you replace him, and I think that's the easy answer.
I would trade multiple first-round picks to have Shanahan as my coach, but I just... Harbaugh multiple? Being pushed out. Oh, without a doubt. I wouldn't even hesitate.
I like Shanahan, but he's not McVay.
I actually disagree with that.
Kyle Shanahan has a losing record in the NFL. Would you believe that?
I don't care.
You wouldn't trade two first-rounders for a quarterback with a losing record in the NFL. Why would you trade two first-rounders for a quarterback?
I think the answer may lie more behind the scenes than what we don't know. The answer might lie on how adamant he was that he trade away the farm to get Trey Lance. And move on.
That's more Lynch, though, don't you think?
We don't know. That's what I'm saying. The answer lies behind the scenes where we don't completely know. But if it was him and Trey Lance doesn't pan out, then I could see why Trey Lance could be a guy you'd want to move on from.
We'll get into this ketchup or mayo
Shanahan.
In just a bit. A couple of other names, though, on this worst firings in sports. 3300, Billy Martin, the third time by George Steinbrenner. He used to get fired tons of times.
I thought about that immediately when you brought this up. I thought about, it's dumb enough that you bring a guy back, but if you're going to continually bring him back and then make him your scapegoat to fire him again, it's more than a shtick.
6602 says Mac Brown. We'll have to ask BK what he thinks about Mac Brown, but they haven't won to the levels that they were once winning under Max Brown, and Herman got him to a New Year's Six game and won it. 9695, Corey with a great one. Mike Leach, after leading Tech to number two in the nation. Yeah. That was the whole Craig James incident
with his
son.
That was the whole phone room and locking his Craig James.
Did you hear Craig James killed a couple of hookers?
What?
You never heard about that?
No. Jeez, that's not one you just drop casually into conversation. Hey, did you hear what Craig James killed a couple of hookers?
It's an old internet joke. I forget where it came from, but it's like it's just like an old internet joke. 713-780-ESPN. I don't
JMZ over here with the sensational headline.
I was just kidding. Anyways, ketchup or mayo ice cream. You tell me ketchup or mayo ice cream.
People hear this, and because in London, I guess this is a thing now.
Oh, I just looked at the picture.
Again, everybody knows I'm the biggest ketchup lover in the world, and I get probably over credit for it. But I'll tell you this, in my ice cream, there's no way in hell that either one of those are choices that I will ever consider, or the avocado ice cream that Tom Brady eats.
I would try the avocado ice cream. I love a good avocado.
No, there's just certain things that are fine if you like them for what they are. But, like, ketchup to me is a condiment for warm foods. I don't need it in ice cream. And I know Brendan's whole philosophy is with fruit and desserts and all this other stuff's going to get mixed in here. But there's no way with all the other choices that I have. Like, if I go to Baskin-Robbins 33 flavors because mayo and ketchup have been offered on the menu, I don't think anyone in their right mind should select either one of them before the other 31 flavors.
I'm trying to think, is there something you could put either on to make it doable, because otherwise
French fries.
What, pickles and onions?
Dipping French fries in one would be worth trying.
I've never understood French fries in a Frosty.
It's pretty solid. Good. Yeah, you get a little savory and sweet. It's a great combination. Savory and sweet, one of the best combinations that exist. I looked up at this, the picture of the mayo ice cream.
Yeah.
It looks like vanilla ice cream.
Of course it does.
But then it's in like the little container where it says Heinz Mayonnaise Original, and I almost threw up a little bit in my mouth.
I don't want a cold dessert treat to taste like. I don't like mayonnaise anyway.
But I don't like mayonnaise.
I don't want my ice cream to taste like it.
Which one would you go with?
Well, then I'm trying ketchup.
I would try the ketchup over the mayonnaise.
If I had to eat one alone, I think I'd go mayo.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't think mayo is as dominating of a flavor as ketchup.
It's also kind of like dairy, right? Isn't there dairy in mayo?
Probably.
Yeah. So
there's
it kind
of fat.
There's a lot of fat in ice cream.
True.
So, like, I think both would be disgusting. But I like ketchup can be a pretty dominating flavor, and I don't think mayo is as much.
Which would you rather try? 713-780-ESPN, the mayonnaise ice cream or the ketchup ice cream? People are going too far, though. I mean, if you're even thinking about this, you're going way too far.
Yeah, no, it's an easy no on both for me.
We were picking up some coffee the other day, and my wife got a sour cream donut. And I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Sour cream tastes different when you bake with it.
I lost my mind a little bit.
But when you bake with it, it's different.
Do you do a lot of baking with sour cream?
No, I don't. But I, being from the Midwest, I know that it is a frequently used item in ingredient in baking.
Yeah, I guess so. But I wouldn't try the donut. I really wouldn't because it sounds gross to me. I don't like sour cream in general, and I don't want it in my donut. I feel like it would ruin donuts for me for the rest of time.
I believe mayonnaise, to some degree, in baking can be a positive.
6767 saying that he would try ketchup. Mayo is too spicy. Mayo is too spicy? I've never used that definition for mayo.
Even like Miracle Whip, which was very prevalent. Brendan, I don't know about you, but in the Midwest, Miracle Whip was considered mayonnaise and used more frequently than real mayonnaise. Miracle Whip has a little kick to it, but it's not spicy.
It's kind of sweeter.
Yeah, it's sweeter.
Ooh, I'd rather have mayonnaise before Miracle Whip. 8693 says pistachio ice cream is amazing. Okay, how is that relevant? How is this relevant between
guys,
the two?
Guys, I really like chocolate ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. Strawberry ice cream is fantastic. Like, how is
Neapolitan is underrated for its packing punch pout. No.
It does. It's all the combat. I like it. I like Neapolitan.
That's not the question, though.
You don't like pistachio ice cream?
No, I don't want. If I have other options, there's no way I'm choosing pistachio ice cream.
Pistachio ice cream is good.
No,
I bought 3 gallons of ice cream the other day.
3 gallons?
Yeah, it's the biggest splurge I've ever made.
Who's having the baby? You are the wife.
It's the biggest. I mean, sympathy pounds. It's not only for me. It's for the household.
But I bought, but I'm not so sure.
I bought 3 gallons the other day. My wife's like, I want to try that oatmeal cream pie one. So I walked into HEB and I left with 3 gallons of ice cream.
So you got that one and what else?
I got the oatmeal cream pie. I got the strawberry limeade. And then I got the peach ice cream. Because the peach and all three of them are new. So I wanted to try them all. But I'm also a guy that believes in value. So I don't like buying the pints because the pints, you're losing money.
Anything, I thought they had a 3 for $10 sale or something.
No. But if you're buying pints, you're spending way much. You're spending way more money per the per the volume of what's inside. So anything that you're profiting, anything over a pint, you're basically profiting.
How often are you eating this ice cream, Jeremy?
I've been eating it every night.
Huh.
Every night.
Interesting.
A bowl every night. Yeah.
Well, how many other desserts are you mixing in there?
Other desserts?
Yeah, right now.
Nothing.
Interesting.
Nothing. Just the ice cream.
You're going to go from the over 55 workout club to the recovering pregnant woman workout club if you keep on par with this.
Pretty popular.
Every night?
I think it's pretty popular.
You're hitting me from two different angles here, two different conversations. One, I see what you're doing, Brendan, saying that the ice cream is the only dessert I want.
Saying.
And blankers, I'm not working out to be skinny. I'm working out so I don't die. Like,
well, I would appreciate both. I appreciate both. Now, are you going to give us like breakdowns on all three of the new flavors?
Do you want some? What do you want?
Really, you tried all three, so tell me, are they all getting passing grades?
All three are very good. All three are very good. The peach is kind of weird because it's ice cream, but it's more sherbet.
In on the peach anyway.
Yeah. Oh man,
and like
peach ice
orange
cream,
sherbet
fantastic.
And watermelon sherbet are phenomenal.
It's kind of like a weird texture between sherbet and ice cream.
Okay.
So it's kind of weird to me. Like of the three, I'm probably putting that third. The oatmeal cream pie, like first bite, it's like, this is interesting. By the second or third bite, you're hooked. It's
really?
Like, this is a really good ice cream. But the strawberry limeade, we've talked about the strawberry limeade before. Like, I criticized that because, like, why?
You have a slush already,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, go get a slush. Go get a, go to Sonic and get a strawberry limeade there. But it's actually a combination of the real strawberry ice cream and then the lime sherbet.
Oh.
So it's like, okay. It's very refreshing. It's great in the summer. Now, in the fall...
I'm not a big lime person.
Oh, it's very good. It's a great combination. It's a great contrast between the strawberry ice cream and the lime sherbet. It's fantastic.
Okay. 713. Cherry Garcia would be a better combo.
That's too much there.
Oh, no.
That's too much there.
Cherries and chocolate chips and all that?
See, I think I'm actually out on chocolate. I think chocolate's a bit overrated.
Yeah, see, and that's where you're overrated.
Which is very on brand for me. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Maybe we'll ask a Wheelhouseman. Ketchup or mayo ice cream. Also, for the Astros, do you prefer the one seed or do you prefer the better path? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville. Look, you've been having issues with your hair. You look in the mirror every day. You don't like your appearance. You think you got to shave all your rest of your hair off because you're thinning or you're balding. And you think there's no way, there's no turning back. Well, there actually is. And you know what the best thing about this way of turning back? It's all natural. It's all your own hair. And when you do the procedure, the hair that is there is going to stay there. Believe me when I tell you from personal experience, you've got to check it out. because the NeoGraft procedure is awesome. It's not sprays and creams and foams that just mask the problem. It's NeoGrafting, where they take hair that you are always going to have a lot of it, sides and back. You look at even the most balding of bald heads, they always have like that wreath around the sides and the back of their head. Well, now Doc Linville's taking some of that hair and relocating it to where you need it, either the baboon's butt up on top in the back, or when your forehead is turned to an 8 head, getting your hairline back like he did for me. And the great thing is there's a 95%+ success rate for all the follicles moved. So as an ESPN listener, he's going to take it one step better for you guys. And that means normally it's $150 just to set up a consultation and meet with his office and his staff to find out how the procedure works and if it's right for you. For ESPN listeners, it's free. Go to 975hair.com and book that appointment. It'll be free of charge. No money gets out of your pocket. And you can sit down and meet with Doc Linville's staff. Ask all those questions. Find out what I'm telling you about the success rate. Find out about how long the procedure lasts, what goes into it, how long it takes to see everything that you get out of it. Normally 6 to 9 months if you want the spoiler alert. But I am so happy with the fact that I went to Doc Linville and you will be too. Check him out today. Go to 975hair.com and book that appointment. Go see Doc Linville.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Somebody texting in, ice cream is good. Jake Asman, welcome back.
Hello.
How was the trip up north?
You remember how to do this?
I'm hoping it's like riding a bike. You never forget, right?
I think so.
Maybe it's riding a bike after Red Bush and Black Bush where you're a little hammered and trying to keep it on the road.
There were some Bushmills. In fact, my first ever Bushmills at a tailgate occurred during my vacation here.
Really?
I saw you tailgated to the Jets. You went to your favorite baseball team stadium to watch a game.
I saw lots of sports. Yeah, I went to a Yankees-Mariners game. I went to Mets-Braves at Citi Field. I went to a Jets scrimmage.
Well, you got a lot done. Pay for all those tickets?
This Jets scrimmage was free. The tickets to both baseball games were through friends.
Okay. You got the green-white game? What do they call it?
So it's basically, I think the Texans are doing something similar later this week. It's basically an open practice, just under the lights at the stadium where they play.
Packers have done it forever, and they call it family night, and they get over 70,000 people every year.
It's fun. I mean, it gives you an excuse to tailgate in August. So
that's just about half of their ownership?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Who won?
The Jets beat the Jets.
Is Zach Wilson going to be good? Because I have him in a few dynasty leagues. I'd really like for him to be good.
I hope so, but I'm also someone who would have told you I think Sam Darnold's going to be good. So I'm more confident in Zach than I am Sam, but until I see it, I'm going to be a very skeptical football fan.
So you had some drink. What was the best thing you ate while you were gone?
Ooh, best thing I ate was definitely the ridiculous amount of pizza and bagels I consumed. Those are my two favorite things, and unfortunately,
slices of cheese on the pizza?
No, I didn't go to Little Vincent's in Huntington, unfortunately. Okay. But I did go to a couple of my favorite.
You know, that's the thing with him.
What's that?
A cold slice of cheese on a warm piece of pizza.
I'll have to send you the link.
Hold on, this is a thing.
Yeah, Google Little Vincent's cold cheese slice.
So I mean, somebody does.
Don't put Little Vincent with an apostrophe S because it might be something else, but. If you want to see Little Vincent's.
So, I mean, this is something that was done. This wasn't your creation. Like, you went somewhere.
This is what the restaurant's known for.
But I just never.
Oh, that looks awful.
Yeah, exactly. And then I saw the picture, too. We had this discussion. I was like, who does that and who wants that?
That looks like a 5-year-old made a pizza.
It's one of the most popular things you put on your pizza, this one place on Long Island.
If this doesn't prove that New Yorkers are morons, nothing ever will.
Go to Long Island and put some cold pizza on a hot pizza, or cold cheese on a hot pizza.
That's bizarre.
There's an idea.
I didn't know there was a thing.
Until you try it, I wouldn't rip it.
I would try anything. How was your flight back?
It was good besides the crying baby this morning. Oh. I think we need to enact a rule that if you're an infant, you're not allowed on planes. Because I purposely take the earliest flight out of New York so I could try and sleep on it. And it gives me an extra day home. And normally I have no problem sleeping on the flight until today, because there was an infant baby right across from me that I swear to God, for this 3-hour flight, did not stop crying for 2 hours and 30 minutes of it.
I can tell you that, and you're going to get ready for this too, but I can tell you honestly that we are more considerate than most parents, because we will not travel with our 2-year-old until we feel totally confident that she will not cry for the majority of the flight.
I thought you were going to say you put a rag around her mouth so she shouldn't scream.
No.
I thought that's what you were going to say.
No, we were being extremely considerate. Like, we were trying to fly out to California to see the in-laws, and we're like, we had a legit conversation. Do we think Maddie can make it through the whole flight? And when the answer was no, we're like, yeah, we can't put people through that.
Interesting. You're a lot more thoughtful than I would be. I wouldn't care. Like, this part of being in public.
When are you
like
going to be public, a dad? Announce it right now.
Any day.
Announce
any day.
It. We need to know.
Any day. I don't really? Know. I couldn't tell you. Any okay. day.
He doesn't know that, but he knows in within the first year he's taking that kid on a plane.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I don't care about Jake Asman sleeping across the aisle. I care about getting from point A to point B. Now, you don't have headphones, or can you not drown it out at all?
It was so loud.
You couldn't drown it out.
Headphones,
even with
fully
noise-reducing headphones?
I tried. I mean, Normally, this is the only airline or the only flight I could fall asleep on because it's early enough and I can never sleep on planes, buses. The only way I could sleep is in a bed. So this is the only flight where I have any chance of getting some semblance of sleep, and I was in and out for 3 hours because this baby did not shut up.
You know what stinks about the planes, sleeping on the planes, is like the head bob. The head bob, I get the head bob so much.
See, and the other thing for me was because I used to be like you, but then traveling on the charter with the team, the one thing that you appreciate is if you can either lay on the floor or spread out over an aisle, then you alleviate the head bob and you can actually get some decent sleep. But, I mean, other than that, I'm with you. It's annoying trying to sleep on a plane.
The head bob is something that gets me. So you couldn't sleep. So what were you doing whenever you
couldn't you just crawl in the overhead?
I wish. I would have done that if it was driving up the noise.
Yao once put Murph in the overhead, and I was like, Murph, you know, you should consider that.
Really?
Yeah.
It was loud. I would have done anything.
Wow. Okay.
Ketchup ice cream or mayo ice cream?
What would I rather have?
Yeah.
Ketchup ice cream or mayo ice cream?
You got to pick one.
Is neither an option?
Nope.
I said neither.
I'm going to go ketchup ice cream because I did the mayo and coffee bit with BK a couple weeks ago, and that was disgusting.
What did y'all do?
So Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky, he likes mayo in his coffee. So we tried it on the air. We're like, all right, this guy's going to go in the first round. Like, let's see what it's all about. Yeah. Horrendous. So I'm going to go ketchup for that reason.
Yeah. I remember watching the video of that. I was confused.
Nasty. Yeah.
Did you try? You tried
that video though. I love that video, and it was sweeping the nation.
You've tried mayo and coffee?
Oh, it was nasty. The video. It just looked terrible.
Yeah.
Just the way the mayo sat within the coffee. No.
Y'all have way more commitment to your jobs than I do. I wouldn't do that. I would get fired before I did that.
We care about the listeners. To the wheelhouse, Jeremy.
Yeah.
That's why we did it.
Yeah. Based on what I used to do with the suspects and what I watched Barry actually put into his body,
some people thrive off that sort of thing. All right, baseball. Yankees and the Astros, and they're in a race here for the top seed in the American League. Yankees a half game up on the Astros. They've lost five in a row. Astros have lost back-to-back games. What do you prefer more, the top seed or the easier path? Because I can make a case that the two seed's an easier path. You get the winner of Minnesota-Seattle as of right now, as opposed to Toronto-Tampa Bay. And Toronto scares me. Would you rather have the top seed guarantee home field advantage through the AL playoffs or have the easier path?
Ooh, it's a good one. I think it's two separate answers depending on the team. I think the Yankees, they should want home field advantage because they haven't beaten the Astros in a playoff series in the ALCS the last two times they played, and Game 6 or Game 7 has been here in Houston. I think the Astros have proven, though, they can win anywhere. So I don't know if it really matters if they get the number one seed or not. They went to Yankee Stadium. They won two games in the regular season. They won playoff games there back in 2019. So I think it means more to the Yankees than it does the Astros. I think for the Astros, it's just about being healthy, playing their very best down the stretch. And if they don't get the one seed, I don't think it's the end of the world.
That's a good answer.
Question then becomes, because when we talked about it, and I think Brendan and Jeremy were basically like, it's just the Astros and the Yankees. And I said the one other team that I would be fearful of if I was in the American League is Toronto.
Yeah, Toronto's turned their season around.
Yeah.
They fired their manager, and obviously, as we're going to say, they just put George.
There was another firing we should have talked about in terms of at a weird time.
I forgot about that, yeah.
They're good. The Yankees just have not played well over the last month. They've been around a .500 team. They lost five in a row. They're really missing Stanton and Rizzo right now, and Montez in his debut yesterday was terrible. So they're scuffling along, but you look at the division lead, they still have a 9.5-game lead over Toronto.
Why did you trade Montgomery?
You have to ask Brian Cashman.
He pitched a great game, too, against them.
He did. He did. Change up of death.
He did. So they're struggling right now, but what are they really playing for, right? Because it seems like they're resting guys, and the Astros are resting guys, too. Like, it seems like neither team, Houston
they
or New
They both want the two seed.
Or they don't truly value the one over getting healthy and basically treating the last month and change of the regular season like it's like an NBA team that knows they're going to the playoffs and they're just resting guys up for the postseason.
Their priority right now is not to win games. Like, they're not trying to win the one game, whether it's the Yankees or the Astros. They're looking ahead to position themselves in the best possible way for the playoffs, whether it's resting arms in a six-man rotation, sitting guys out quite a bit. And I don't even think it's wrong. Like, I don't have an issue with it. In fact, I think it's the right thing to do, to look ahead. If you have the luxury, it's the right thing to do. I think when Blankers asked you about the Blue Jays, though, he didn't really mean about the regular season race, more about facing Toronto absolutely. In the playoffs.
Yeah. In the playoffs, if you were to say it wasn't just between the Astros and Yankees for who's going to win the American League. What other team are you fearful of?
Especially Toronto would be that team.
In a division series, too. Five games, Alex Manoa goes two of them. Oof.
The thing is, can they get past, you know, the wild card round now? Because you got to burn through your top pitchers just to get into that. That's why I think the bye is such a big advantage. It's why the Yankees and the Astros, I don't think they truly, if you gave them truth serum, like, would they prefer the one seed? Sure. Is it the end of the world? They don't get it? No, because they know the team they're going to play is going to have to burn their best pitchers just to get through the wild card round, which is now a best of three.
It's best of three, and it happens in three straight days at one ballpark. There's no travel. One ballpark. So, like, I wonder, like, if you go with Manoa, and I wonder the gap between the wild card series and the division series, because there's probably not a whole lot of gap because you don't want the division teams to get cold. So there's probably only, like, one off day.
Probably, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, off day, Thursday, series starts Friday?
Maybe even... Yeah, probably. Probably. And it might not be like the exact days, but that doesn't matter here. So Manoa probably goes on Monday, right? So then you play Tuesday, Wednesday. You have an off day Thursday. So you're like, you either, still probably able to go
game
two.
You only get for game two of the division series.
But if game two of the division series, it allows you full rest for a game five. So you're still going to face them potentially twice if it goes the distance, which is scary.
Do they have the schedule out? Because that would actually be an interesting conversation.
I was looking at it the other day to try to make sure I don't double book days like on ALDS stuff. So I think so. I think it's like they have the days for each league. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Manoa could pitch game one of the wild card series. Because if he's back for game two of the division series, you'd have full rest.
But doesn't it also
for game five?
That almost kind of defeats the purpose. The team gets the bye, but you also think it's supposed to screw up the pitching rotation for whoever had to play in the wild card.
Well, if they get
their ace in game one of the next round.
Well, it doesn't set you up. And also, like, if you have to use, like, Manoa probably wouldn't be a great example here at the Blue Jays, but, like, there's no guarantee that they're going to be locked into that spot. Like, you might be playing for home field. You might be playing to get into the wild card. So it's just more games, but you could try to shape it up a little bit. Any shows that you have that you hang on to that just stop getting good? Like, they start getting bad. Brendan's was Westworld.
Billions. Done. Billions.
People were texting that
terrible.
In.
Terrible. And I'm a huge fan of the show, but the second that the Bobby Axelrod character left the show Billions.
Did he really?
It went all downhill. I'm not watching the next season. They already announced they're doing another season. I'm out.
So you gave up on it. You're not seeing it through.
I saw it through the first season without Bobby Axelrod. The problem was it was already a declining show with Axelrod. Huh. He leaves. The show became garbage.
So you're not gonna see it through. You're not going to see how it finishes.
That's it. I'm out on Billions.
You know another good one that we didn't talk about? How about Hard Knocks? Hard Knocks used to be way better than it is
Brendan's
now.
Gonna be locked
that's
in
so
tonight.
True.
Or so much true. Better. Yeah.
Dan Campbell biting kneecaps. Brendan Riley's going to be locked into
his
screen.
What's up on the wheelhouse today?
Great question. We'll talk plenty about the Astros weekend that was. We'll talk about BK's bachelor party that he was on, I think in Arkansas.
He's getting married?
It wasn't his, but he was on someone's bachelor party.
In a tent.
In Arkansas, right?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Just doesn't that sound like the recipe for disaster?
I feel like there's going to be some
what
good
could
radio
go
stuff.
Wrong in a tent in Arkansas on a bachelor party?
Yeah, we'll have some stoops servations from Texas.
Strippers
training
and s'mores?
Yeah.
More pick suing.
I'm looking forward to it. We got a great show.
Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.